Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
But it don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. We're just thankful. We're just so glad you could be with us today. We want to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory, for he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. We just thank you. We thank our live listening audience. Let's give God a praise, Kingdom of God Ministry. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to be teaching how to be blessed of God. We have a lot of this word has been used so carelessly. We want to take an in-depth look, and nowadays everybody is blessed. If you're sinning, you're blessed. If you're living any kind of way, the world say you're blessed. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Everybody is blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Well, Kingdom of God Ministry, you know what we do. We dissect the word. Because we're going to dig deep. I don't want to just get a topical scripture and not dig deep. I want to see what Jesus, how he looks at being blessed. I want to see the true definition of what being blessed is. Amen. And we know that right now in the beautiful city of Smyrna, we always give out our invitation. You can join us live where the power of God is going forth. Miracles are happening. People are being set free, delivered, healings, wonders, miracles, signs. This is what we ask the Lord for. I don't want to just come together and congregate as a group of people and not see the signs and movement of God taking place in our everyday life. What are you going to church for? Are you truly blessed if you can't trust God to break chains and bonds off of you? Are you really blessed? Let's talk about blessings. If you would turn with me, and let me give out our address. We're located at 9550 Bells Ferry Road in the city of Kenton, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. So if you are in the Atlanta area and you're visiting, maybe a tourist, or you want to have, and you might be here on a Sunday, feel free to come by. Feel free to step in. If you know somebody that are bound up, oppressed of the devil, demon-possessed, come by. We are doing live deliverance sessions. We don't have a set time. You call us and we'll meet you. And we'll cast that devil out of you. Amen? Amen. Okay, if you could turn with me to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And this is the Beatitudes. And a lot of people say, well, I know about the Beatitudes, but the Beatitudes is deeper than what you think. Okay, the Latin word for blessed is beatus, which we get the word beatitude. And we know that over here, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the pure in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you would recount back, we've been talking about the churches of Philadelphia, and one church in particular was Smyrna. When God, he seen them, he really admonished them for how they had been persecuted. It was Philadelphia, how they had been persecuted, how they'd been going through, but for the Christ's name's sake. And that's when God take notice, because you going through these things, but it's because of my name's sake. And I know sometimes because of ignorance, we bring persecution upon ourselves. But the type of persecution God is talking about, when men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you, he said, for my name's sake. That's what he called blessed. Let's go on. Matthew 18 and 3. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, first of all, we're going to have to get this pride out of us. We're going to have to humble ourselves. If you truly want to be blessed of God, you can't come to God in an arrogant attitude like you know everything. Let's get that out the way right now. Matthew 18 and 4, therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Did you see how the disciples came to him and he taught them? That's the first sign of humility, because you are willing to be taught. If you don't have that humility, that humble spirit, can't nobody tell you nothing. You're arrogant. You're self-centered. You're full of pride. God looks at that. He do not look at that as blessed, because the disciples came to him and he taught them. Amen. Let's go on. The meaning of the word poor in the Greek, one who has nothing and is completely empty. Was Jesus saying the economically poor are blessed? No. For there are no spirituality in poverty. We know that. And we know because some poverty in some of the third world countries is because of the government. They don't have the money and things like that. They oppress the poor. That's not what Jesus talked about. Poverty in itself is not blessed. And think about it. When you maybe been out of a job and you couldn't hardly pay the bills and stuff, that you didn't feel too blessed right then. You felt, you say, well, I'm thankful, but I'm still going through some things. Oh, man. So that's not what he's talking about. Poverty in itself is not blessed, because the poor can be as arrogant and as ungodly and as lost as the rich. Don't you see it today? Drive by some of these communities, poor communities. Go out there on the street corner and try to witness to them about Jesus. Oh, man, I ain't got time for that. I don't need that. But you're broke, disgusted, you're busted, and you're full of pride, you're full of arrogance, and you're telling me you don't need God. So that's not what he's talking about. So what does it mean to be poor in the spirit? It means that the poor are those who realize that they can never achieve salvation on their own, and instead put their complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Because I have to recondition your mind, because everything has been put, these blessings, beatitude has been put on a carnal level. I'm talking spirit to spirit. I'm talking to your spirit. And one thing at Kingdom of God Ministries, we do not say just because you have a status quo, you can sit ye over here, or if you poor, you sit over there. We're all God's children. Everybody is welcome. We don't get hooked up on the race car. I'm looking for black. I'm looking for white. I'm looking for Mexican. I'm looking for Chinese. I'm looking for Indian. Every kind of race under God's heaven, I want to be in Kingdom of God ministry. I am sick of the division. I am sick of you guys. I counted the other day just driving here. And I say, Lord, you got in a radius of about 10 miles, I think I counted over maybe 100 churches. You got Presbyterian. You got Lutheran. First Baptist. Second Baptist. You got non-denominational. You got Hispanic. You got all these different denominations, but we holler, we so blessed, but we can't come together. What is this? Let's go on. The poor in spirit are those who are not self-assertive, self-reliant, self-confident. And this goes against what the world say, because the world say you got to be self-actualized. This is not how God look at you. Self-reliant, self-confident, self-centered, self-sufficient. Everything is about self. Me, me, me. It's a selfish mindset. This generation is selfish. It's all about me. I don't care who I hurt to get to the top, I'm going to get that. If I have to step on you, if I have to kill, steal, destroy, I got to get to the top. That's not what God is talking about. The poor in spirit are those baptized in the water of self. They don't want to. They're so full of themselves. God is looking at you. When you poor in spirit, you're seeking after him. You're not full of yourself. You're not full of pride. They do not boast. The poor in spirit, they don't boast in God-given characteristics such as their birth, their family, their nationality, their education, their physical look, their race, their wealth, all their culture. When you poor in spirit, you don't look at yourself like that. You don't look at yourself because I done made six figures. I got it made, baby. Look at me. I'm on top of the world. You don't look at yourself like that. You're humble before the Almighty God. You're thankful because God looked down and he saw fit to give you these things. You're not arrogant. You're not self-centered. You're not full of pride. And so the poor in spirit are those who are conscious of their sins and know in their heart that they are completely unworthy of the grace that a most holy and loving God pours down upon them. They realize that all their righteousness is, as Isaiah said, like filthy rags before a holy God. So the poor in spirit means that we come to God conscious of our sins and our utter lack of righteousness. It means that we profess that we are totally unqualified to commune with and have fellowship with God, and that we do not deserve any of the gifts that God is trying to bestow upon us. The poor in spirit realize that all our assets are actually liberties before God, and that we shall view these assets as Paul viewed them, as lost, as garbage, as rubbish, because it's all going to fade away. Solomon, wise man, he told you, everything under the sun, it's gonna perish. You're gonna be cut down like the grass. So if you got your hope and your salvation and all your stuff is in wrapped up in this corner stuff, I got news for you. It's gonna fade away. Every day you wake up, you is that one step closer to death. And that's something, I don't care how many Einsteins, how many men of knowledge can try to figure out all kinds of equations, but they can't figure out how to cheat death. Because God gave it, and God is the one who tells death to be still. Amen. Let's go on. It means that we have absolutely no hope of salvation without Jesus Christ. It means to realize that we are full of sin and in desperate need of God, grace, and righteousness, and the poor in spirit realize that they can only be obtained by faith in Jesus Christ. In Luke 15, we see how the prodigal son became poor in spirit. His pride and arrogance, he left his father's house. He wasted his inheritance. He fell into great need of some faraway country. During a severe famine, this son had no job and nothing to eat. You see what I'm saying? At that point, he said he came to himself. He realized. He went back to his father. He humbled himself. Jesus, glory. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Luke 15:21. That is being broken. That is being poor in spirit. That is humbling yourself before Almighty God. Lord, I know I messed up. Lord, I ain't worthy. But Lord, I fall down and I humble myself before you. Save me. Forgive me. Amen. Only the poor in spirit will enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because they came to God having foreknowledge of their own lostness and their own sinfulness. They readily confess that they are full of guilt and are totally unqualified to enter into the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit are the ones who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Second beatitude, and I'm moving on. The person that mourns is the one who recognizes that he is a sinner before God. Such a person mourns over his various sins because he recognizes that not only do his sins greatly hurt our Heavenly Father, he also recognizes that he is empty of righteousness and does not even begin to deserve salvation. And the joys of heaven, this miserable but repentant sinner, realizes that only through the grace of God does he have forgiveness and salvation. Jesus says, such a person is blessed, and there is no greater blessing than to receive such divine approval. Those who are blessed in this way by God will see God and dwell with him forever. Amen. You see today, a lot of churches don't even really have that kind of altar call. They'll have you up there, and they'll shake your hand, and you'll write your name in a book, and you go on your merry way. But this is the kind of, this is what God is saying about they that mourn. That's what he look at blessed. When you realize, Lord, I need you. Lord, if it weren't for your mercy, if it weren't for your salvation, your grace, what would I be? Because you're broken in spirit. You're crying. On the altar, you're crying. I just want God. I just want more. You, Lord. Do you mourn for the many sins you committed? Or are you full of arrogance? No one mourns unless the Holy Spirit convicts him of sin and reveals to him that he is a violator of the laws of God. We must also realize that as believers, we have all violated God's law. But only true Christians, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, will realistically declare that not only are they spiritually bankrupt, but they are completely lost without Jesus. Thus, the mourning of Christians referred to in the Beatitude is not because of financial loss, terminal sickness, the death of a loved one, loneliness, a divorce, or some rejection being experienced. Christians mourn because they realize they have sinned against a holy God and have brought dishonor upon his name. And this dishonor of God's very name brings great mourning to the believer. The true believer, when he sins, he knows that the sin he just committed, he or she committed, brings great pain and sorrow to God. Remember he said how you could grieve the Holy Spirit? When you are a believer and you're continually living contrary to what the law of God says, you grieve the Holy Spirit. God is not pleased with that. And at some point, you can't tell me the Holy Spirit do not continue to come to you and say, son, that ain't my daughter. Don't do that. I'm not happy with that. He stands there and he pleads with us. He begs with us. Let's go on. I'm going on down to the third beatitude. Blessed are the meek. The Greek word for meek means prayers, was used to refer to domesticated animals. The word does not refer to a wild, unruly animal. It refers to a strong and powerful horse or an ox that was trained and disciplined so that it could be controlled by a human. The word meek used in Matthew 5:5 refers to a strong person who is under control, a God-controlled person, okay? A meek person is a man or woman of God whose strength is controlled by God. He or she is controlled by God in thought, in word, in will, in emotion, and in action. So if you're telling me you're meek and you got emotions all over the place, you better get in your prayer closet. Because a person who is meek under God, that is in control. Subdued strength. Let's go on. Because I tell you, the world working with some people, they have your mind all over the place. Sometimes you're going to have to get in your prayer closet. The meek man is the one who submits not to his own will or to the will of the world, but to the great and gracious will of God. It's not about our will. That's what Jesus prayed. He said, not my will, but let your will be done. God ain't going to have to put a hook in my jaw and drag me to do the kingdom of God ministry. The flesh said no, but God said go. You see what I'm saying? So a meek person is going to humble himself. Say, Lord, it's not my will because I have bigger and better things. But remember, get that out of the way and humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and do his will. Amen. Let's go on. What makes a person meek? They see God, and they see God in everything. No one becomes meek unless they can see the infinite person, almighty, all-wise, all-holy God. And when they see God, they are immediately humbled. When we are able to see God by faith, then that is the time when the Holy Spirit allows us to become meek. Because a meek person does not rely on himself saying, I can do all things. You know, they don't even took that out of script. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. They use that a lot to give material stuff. He said, I can do all things. I can have confidence in myself. This is not a meek person. After all, I am strong and able. No, the meek person says, I see God. And he is able and willing to help me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When God calls you to do something, he's going to strengthen you to do it. Because you're not relying on your own intellect. You're not relying on your own finance. The kingdom of God ministries is not relying on the status quo. We're relying on the mighty hand of God. That's how we live. That's what we teach. And that's what we want to convey to our listening audience. It's no more I, but it's the Christ that lives in me. Praise God. Kathy died a long time ago. Jesus. It's no more me. But I got to do the will of my Father. And if my dad doing his will, that's all I want him to say. It's well done. Praise Jesus. Let's go on. And man, I mean, you can't tell me, you can't stand up here and talk about the goodness of God and you don't feel the power of a mighty God. He's awesome.
Yes.
I can't come into your presence for a fight. I can't come into your presence arrogant. You are God. You are worthy. Who am I? Jesus. Blessed are they who hunger hunger for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. To help us understand this beatitude, we must first have to ask ourselves, what is meant by righteousness? Everybody in the church have a problem with righteousness nowadays. And righteousness means being completely in accordance with what is just, honorable, and godly. Righteousness are those that are upright, virtuous, noble, morality, right, and ethical. You could say that righteousness is a lifestyle that is complete conformity to the will of God. It is a lifestyle that Jesus not only finds pleasing, but one that he approves of. God don't approve of you when you're living an immoral lifestyle. He don't count that as righteousness. I'm not going to tell you you're blessed because you shake your behind on TV and you can sing and you're making millions and millions of money, but you're living destitute of what God has for you. You're not blessed. And God don't look at you as blessed. The world do, because they measure blessings by things. They measure blessings by status quo. They measure blessings by where you live, by what you drive, by who you married to, by what neighborhood you live in. And I may be getting a little emotional, but that's all right too, because I'm getting it out there. Stop looking at the world. Let's go on. Mercy is love toward those who are miserable, those that are wretched. This is what he said. Blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is toward those that are miserable, those that are wretched, those that need some type of help or assistance. The merciful are those that are tenderhearted and who truly feel in deepest parts of their inner being and pain and suffering of those who need mercy. But most importantly, it is the fact that the merciful are those special individuals who go out of their way to make the effort to help, having compassion on those that are in any way hurting. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. When you're going out and you're healing and you're doing what Jesus is telling you to do, he said he had compassion upon them. He was casting out devils. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. That's being merciful. Yes, the world have a type of mercy where they go out and they do all these social type of activities. That in itself is good, but without God, it doesn't profit you anything. Let's go on. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, I went on down there. As we believers must show mercy to all men, and we are to do this by both sympathizing with them and by taking tender care to their needs. And we must do this with readiness and gladness, with affection and tenderness, always ready to forgive. Our Lord instructs us to show the same type of mercies to others that he shows to each of us. He talked much about showing mercy. A good example is found in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we got brothers and sisters going through. Right now, I got a blog from an evangelistic association where this lady, 46, she's right now in prison. She's getting ready to get beheaded. That's what he's talking about. Compassion, mercy. I lifted up in prayer. Never seen her day in my life, but the compassion and the mercy went out toward her. Because we don't never know. Yeah, we in the land of the free. We in the land of whatever religion you want to worship, you can do that in America. But we don't know what day. We don't know if they're going to put a sanction out to stop us from blogging on the radio. We don't know if they're working right now behind the scenes to take our liberties as Christians. We don't know that. But that's why those that are, we give mercy, because one day we may need mercy. Let's go on. That was the fifth one. The sixth one. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Psalms 119:9. How can a believer keep his heart pure? Something like what Brother Dion said today. By keeping it in accordance to the word of God. Out of the pure, out of the hearts of men come all kinds of evil things, everything from evil thoughts and greed to slander, arrogance. All these things come from inside of man, from his heart. And the evil from the heart is what makes him unclean. Two very good examples of verses are here. Mark 7:20-23. That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within our heart of man proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of covetousness, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things proceed from within a man, and they defile a man. Jeremiah 1:17-9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So tell me, let's go back to the question. Is a sinner really blessed? If this stuff is proceeding out of his heart, do God look at him as blessed? All right, let's go on. Therefore, one of the most important questions that we can ask is, how can we truly be pure in our heart and clean of filthy sin? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's how you clean up your mind. Because the carnal flesh always wants carnal. That's why you have to tell the flesh, no. You can't have that. No. If this is contrary to the will of God, I don't care how much money you make it, some things you're going to have to say no to. Amen. Go on. The seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers are those children of God who not only have great love for God, but also have love for all mankind. And they attempt to, and I ain't talking about people running around getting little squirrels. And if that's what you want to do, that's not what I'm talking about, peacemakers. The peacemakers are the children of God who not only have great love for God, but also have love for all mankind, and they attempt to do everything possible for the advancement of peace everywhere. I'm not talking about this peace social agenda that this world is pushing, that all religions going to come together in unity and peace. That is not what I'm talking about, because peace from without God is not true peace. The term peacemaker includes all who make peace between men, whether individuals or the community. It includes even those who endeavor to make peace, even though they fail. The peacemaker are those who have peaceful dispositions, because to make peace, you have to have strong, a hearty affection for peace. It is to love, desire, and delight in peace. The peacemaker also wants to preserve the peace, and when the peace is broken, then the peacemaker has great desire to recover it as quickly as possible. I can't stand to be in a room with a lot of wrangling and dissensions and confusion. Look at it. Sometimes you go, even some of these family reunions you go to, they can't even get together without all kinds of confusion. I don't like that. The peace that God bestows upon this believer is in turn shared by believers with the rest of mankind, so that the peace receivers are transformed into peace givers. That's Romans 14:19. It tells us, so then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. In the body of Christ, we shouldn't have all these wranglings and dissensions and confusion. For there's confusion and strife, there's every evil work. God is not the author of confusion. Let's go on. The peacemaker realized that there is only one way that this world can have peace, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ. What Jesus did on the cross was bring peace between not only God and man, but also between man and man. Christ's death tore the barrier of the veil at the entrance of the holies of holies from top to bottom and opened a way for us to have access to God, so that we can now come to the very presence of God and have peace with our Father. We are one with the Father, and when we are at peace with God, we will be at peace with men. By his death, Jesus also destroyed another barrier that divided the wall of hostility between man and his fellow man, Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Man, let's go on. Eighth Beatitude. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not for crimes that they've done, not for being unrighteousness and committing the acts of those who practice evil, from such murderous thieves and all other acts of wickedness, but on the account of their righteousness and godly conversation and godly actions, which in turn bring upon them the hatred of the enemy, of the men of this world. For by living righteously, the believers separate themselves from the world and profess themselves not to belong to the world. The godly life of a true believer places a brand upon them that distinguishes them from the rest of the world. When you go and you take up Christ and you be a partaker of Jesus Christ and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are branded. The devils know who you are. You can't get away from that because God already put his mark on you, and you are branded. Amen. There's much evidence that proves that more Christians around the world have been martyred for the faith in this century alone than in any combined previous 19 centuries of the church history. In many countries today, it is a crime to be a Christian. If you live in the United States, like I said, you may think that the ideal of persecution of Christians is not very relevant today. I just told you about the lady being beheaded. We are not experiencing any real persecution here in this country. But as you look around the world, you can't help but see many great evil inroads that have been made into destroying and have been passed recently with the ideal of suppressing Christianity in all areas of society. This is what it's getting to. Little by little, as Christians, our rights are being taken. And what is the church doing? What did we say? You sleep. Which church was that that was sleeping? He said, you're spiritually dead. You don't see nothing. You don't see nothing going on. All you want is your pie in the sky. I want my steak on my plate while I wait. The rest of y'all can go to wherever. Amen. You know what they say. If you are not being persecuted, you should ask. Why? The answer just may be that you are not living a godly life. It is our godly life that causes the other persons to get heated up, upset, unhappy. You can't even, like I said, if you're full of God, you go to these family reunions, they're full of the devil, they don't like you. And you just say, well, Lord, I just want to support them. It's something about that mark. I see Christ in her. Who do they think they is? That's the devil in them. The truth is, everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If no one is persecuting you, it is because you are not living the Christian life and shining as the light of the world. Because the world hates you. He said he hated me, and Jesus said they hated me, and they're going to hate you also. If you are, he said, Luke 6:26, Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. For that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. When the world applauds, appreciates, and commends you instead of persecuting you, you can be pretty well figure that you are no longer a true prophet of the Lord. Okay, you know, this big time preacher, everybody, he's the America's number one pastor. Why is that? Because you ain't saying nothing. You ain't saying nothing that's going to convict sin. So you can get on these talk shows and everybody is happy. Life is good. That's what the world want to hear. Because you're not representing Jesus Christ. You're representing this soulish, fleshly, carnal, selfish religion. And that's what the world can appreciate. When the world chuckles right along with you and pats you on the back, you can pretty well deduce that you are, in fact, a false prophet, or you're walking, or you trend, and you compromise the word of God. A false prophet always speaks smooth things created from your own subjectivity without hearing from the Spirit of the living God. Sadly, if you have no persecution in your life, if everything is going well, people speak happy, oh, God, they're going to give you favor. You're going to just be blessed. Everybody going to love you. You better watch it. It is very true that persecution is the cost of being a Christian, because a believer must reckon upon hardships and troubles much more than other men. At first glance, persecution looks to be a truly horrible experience. That's how we would look at it. But God sees it as it's a blessing. You're blessed when they persecute you for his name's sake. Don't go in a closet and go to cry. He said, rejoice, because I took notice of you.
Amen.
Blessed are they when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil. Rejoice. Amen. This is what I want to conclude with. And I know this is a question. Why don't I have what they have? Wow. This was a question came in. And they often wonder when God says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly realm, Ephesians 1:3. I wonder, what are these blessings Paul refers to? Secondly, I see with my eyes that there are so many sinners who are so blessed. This is what the writer was saying. Blessed career, strong financial status, a happy family with a beautiful partner and vibrant health, and many more. And I start to wonder, since I am his child, why am I not having all these blessings which these sinners have? Am I going to share with them the gospel and tell them that I am really blessed? They would definitely jeer at me, and when they look at me now, I cannot even be compared with them. They would tell me, I just can't say God has blessed me. Then I saw another group who are believers, and they are also very successful in their life as compared to sinners. Then the question is, why are God's children have different faith? Does God show favoritism? And a final blow question that came into my mind was that if I cannot even trust him to bless me with all these blessings, a happy relationship, a blessed career, a material blessing, then am I being naive to trust him with my salvation? I feel that I believe about the goodness of God is just a form of self-denial. But please let me, and then this is what he came with the answer. He said, let me enlighten you, brother. He said, this guy said he almost wanted to lead a carnal life because he was giving up on his faith. I really wonder if he could be still gracious and offer his forgiveness when I think in this manner. This is what he said. See how the Christians start looking at the world, and the world show you that they bless, this person, he made so many million copies of his records. He sold so many million. But what is you singing in your record? You're singing damnation, destruction. You're leading the whole generation to hell in your lyrics. You is an agent of Satan. You're working for Satan. And you're telling me he blessed and he's leading people to hell? Do not fret you. This is what the Lord said. After your situation on earth, the Lord had David write the answer to this question. Psalm 37. Here is the answer. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy the safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of the cause like nobody's. No noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land.
Yeah.
A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Psalms 37:1-11. Y'all be blessed. And I hope this was a blessing to you. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bob. And he's going to come forth with the anointed word of God and go as God has led him. Amen.
I just say hallelujah and praise be to God, because we're just bringing out some things in reference to blessings. and what we are bringing out is the blessings of God according to God. It's the blessings according to Jesus Christ. And what we found out in our studies is it's totally different than the blessing that the world is saying. Now, what Sister Montgomery brought out was what Jesus was saying blessed was. And he said blessed was the beatitude. But if you notice now, as we said earlier, and what many people would dwell on is that, no, God is not against you making it. He's not against you having good things. He's not against you having money. He's not against you having cars. He's not against you having a nice house. He's not against you having a loving husband or a loving wife. He's not against those things. But what he's talking about, God is talking about, in his aspect of blessings, is spiritual and from the heart. The Lord talks about the heart, the condition of your heart, the condition of your mind, in reference and in relationship to him. To him. So we can't get confused and we can't covet the things of the world because we don't know how they got it. We don't know how they got it. They might be working roots. They might be casting spells. They might be killing people. They might be robbing from folks. They might be lying. They might be doing anything and everything under the sun to get what they want. And the only thing we see is the thing. You see? And God looks past all of that, and he looks to our heart and in our mind. And I'm going to bring out some things in reference to blessing because the whole church world, mostly in this country, is caught up in the wrong kind of blessing. It's the wrong kind of blessing. And they can't tell the difference. And one thing I want to bring out is that we did a study and a lesson on Belphegor. And who is that? Belphegor is a demon that brings wealth to people and gives them ideas, schemes to get wealth. But it's a demon. It's a devil that goes around and gives people stuff. Now, what do you have to do? Many times you're going to have to sell out. You're going to have to do what this devil tells you to do to get what you want. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sell out? Sell out? And a lot of people are doing it. Like Jesus said, what is it if you gain the world, all the money, all the prestige, and you lose your soul? What does it profit to do that? Is that blessing? Is that being blessed? To have $1 million? To have all of corporate? To be a famous star, a singer, an actor, and die and go to hell? Is that blessed? To be diseased, to be corrupt? Is that blessed? Is that blessed? Some people say that's blessed. But what does God say? What does Christ say about it? Now, we're going to go into some more blessing. But our subject is how to receive the blessings of God. How to receive the blessings of God. Now, for one thing that's been brought out, the greatest, now God, I have to say this, the greatest and the best blessing anyone could ever receive on earth is salvation in the Spirit of the living God and righteousness through Christ. Now, that's the greatest blessing on the face of the earth. That is something that cannot be bought. Silver and gold cannot buy that. There's nothing you can do to obtain that other than accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. So that right there is the greatest blessing that any human being can ever have is salvation, holiness, sanctification, and being filled with the Spirit and having open communication with God. That is the greatest blessing anybody can have. Everything else falls under that. So Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God huh? And all these things shall be added. So that's first and foremost. So if you're getting stuck and you don't have Christ in your life, then you got to ask yourself, are you really blessed? Or do you just have stuff? Or are you just under God's goodness and his grace, that he is such a good and loving and caring God that he calls us and makes ways for everybody to eat and to live and to have a measure of sanity and a measure of health? That is just God's goodness. But are you really blessed of God? That's what we're talking about here. Now, Jesus says something in reference to blessing, and we're going back to Matthew 5. We've gone through the Beatitudes, but we're going to go back to Matthew 5 because Jesus said these things right after he said the Beatitudes. Now, listen to this here. Matthew 5 and 13 reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes insipid or worthless or it doesn't have that salty savior anymore, with what will it be salted? It's good for nothing except to be thrown outside and to be trodden under by people." I'm reading out of the Aramaic Bible in plain English, so it's going to read a little stricter, a little straighter. So you see, our Lord and Savior considers blessing as being salty, as adding flavor to life, as salt also was used back in those times to keep things from spoiling. So God said, the Lord Jesus said, you bless when you can keep somebody turned toward righteousness and you're keeping them from spoiling. And so they used salt and they would take fish and whatever meat they had, they would put it in their salt and it would keep it from spoiling, it would keep it from rotting. So that's what they use it for. But if the salt couldn't do that, what did they do with the salt? They took it and they threw it on the road and people walked on it. I guess obviously the only thing they could use it for is to keep mud and dirt off your feet. It wasn't good for anything else. But then he said, "You are the light of the world. You cannot hide a city that has been built upon a mountain, Lord Jesus. And they do not light a lamp and set it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Thus your light will shine before the children of men, that they may see your good work and want, and may glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's another blessing. When your light is shining and people can see Christ shining through you, and they say, "Wait a minute, there's something different about these people. They must have Christ. They must know Jesus. They must have a relationship with God." And your light is shining. And the funny thing about light, anytime a light is shining, you are drawn to that light. I don't care what light it is. If somebody cut on a bright light over in that corner, your eyes will be attracted to that light. You're going to want to go see what that light is. But you're not really drawn to darkness. Have you noticed that? If something is pitch black, people of the Most High God, most people don't want to go where it's pitch black. But while there's a light there, people will be drawn to it. I remember many times we used to go fishing at night. And if you want to catch fish, you put a light out there. You shine a light out there. And the fish will come to the light. Now, we put that light out there to catch the fish. But when you put a light out there, people will be drawn to that light. But it's got to be the right light. It's got to be the light of Jesus Christ. Now, it's something that Jesus said this right after he spoke of the Beatitudes. So what he was actually doing, he was bringing out in more detail of what he was talking about with the Beatitudes when he was talking about blessed. Who's blessed? Who's blessed? Who's blessed? Who I say is blessed. Jesus said, who I say is blessed. He didn't say who the world say is blessed. Now, you can believe it was people. People always have had money. People have always had affluence. They have always had the best of things, but Jesus didn't even point to that. He didn't point to anything worldly. He pointed to everything in reference to holiness. Now, listen to this. Do not think that I have come to revoke the written law of the prophets. I have not come to revoke, but to fulfill. Amen. I say to you that until heaven and earth will pass away, one yard and one tag will not pass away from the written law until everything, or say one dot or one tittle, will not pass away from the written law until everything will happen. The word of God will come to pass. Everyone, therefore, who violates one of these small commandments and will teach thus to the children of men will be called small in the kingdom of heaven. But everyone who will do and will teach the same will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your goodness will exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus was saying is that you're blessed when you teach the word and live it. When you teach the word and you don't live it, he does not consider you to be blessed. So he does not consider hypocrisy a blessing. Everybody out there, from bishops down to the lay member, if you're teaching something and you're not living it to, in reference to Jesus Christ and God, you're not blessed. I don't care what you have. We have to teach this word, but we also have to live it. Like Paul said in his word when he was teaching, he's not going to be the type of person who beat it the air. In other words, he's going to preach the word, but he'd be left out of the kingdom. No, the word of God as such is going to be to you first. When you preach the word of the living God, when you talk about blessing, when you talk about anything of God, it's got to go to you first, then to the people. You cannot preach the word of God and then live contrary to that same word that you preach. The Lord says that's not blessed. That's hypocrisy, and he does not like it. He preached against it when he walked this earth. He was always blasting the scribes and the Pharisees because they live a lie. You're not blessed living a lie. You're not blessed living a lie. I'll say it again. You're not blessed living a lie, and if you believe that, you have deceived yourself. I don't care what you have. You can have $1 million. You can preach every Sunday. You can have everything you want in life. But if you live in the life of a hypocrite, you're not blessed. According to God, according to Christ Jesus, you're not blessed. We're talking about the blessings, receiving the blessings of God. We're talking about receiving the blessings of God. We're talking about receiving the blessings of God, not the world, not what society says, not what the president says, not what the governor says, not what politics says, not what people say. We're talking about what God says, receiving the blessings of God. People, children of the Most High God, seek the things of God, especially now. Especially now. Let's not be deceived by what we see. Let's not be deceived by what we hear. Let's not be deceived by what other people do. Stay in the word of God. If you truly want to be blessed, stay in the word of God, and you will be truly blessed. Let's get our eyes off of stuff. Get in your word. Read the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Fast and pray. And then you'll know what blessing really is. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a time when you're going to have to call and have faith and rely and expect God to move in your life. Now, that's a blessing. When you can pray to God and he will come through. Or when you can pray to God and the angels will be dispatched on your behalf. When you can pray to God and you're so blessed that the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life in a supernatural way. Now, that is truly being blessed. Being able to get a prayer through, that's being blessed. When your family is on the right track and reference to God, and you know that they won't be lost. That's a true blessing. Money can't buy that. Doctors can't buy that. They can't heal that. Lawyers can't litigate that. Only God can do those things. Only God can give you true blessing. It only comes from the Lord. True blessings only comes from God. And that's what needs to be taught. Because I'm telling you something. The devil, Satan, and his foul, unclean spirits are on a rampage today, and they're deceiving people, and they're throwing out their false gold and their false riches and their false prosperity, and people are eating it up like a dog or horse to swap. And nobody is saying anything about it, but we are, because we want people to be truly blessed. Truly blessed. Not this fake stuff. Not this stuff that you get a little something here and you get a little something there, and the next thing you know, you got something bad that has come upon you because you have received something from the devil that you think you best. Uh-uh. Now listen to this here. Ooh, my Lord. Matthew 5:20, you have heard that it was said to the angels, do not murder, and whoever murders is condemned to judgment. But I'm saying to you, this is Jesus speaking, that everyone who will be angry against his brother without cause is condemned before the judge. And everyone who will say to his brother, I spit on you. Now that's what I mean. And what that's basically saying is they don't think too much of you. You lower than their foot. You don't account for anything. So I'm going to just spit on you. That's what I think of you. But Jesus said, is condemned before the assembly. Whoever will say you fool is condemned to the Gehenna of fire. Therefore, you bring your offering to the altar, and there you remember that your brother holds any grudge against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother, and then come bring your offering. Now listen what Jesus said. He said that if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you condemn before the judge. So in other words, you bless if you're not angry with your brother, and you don't have to be condemned before the assembly. The Lord said you are blessed if you don't go around calling people fools. And then he said if you do that, you're condemned to the Gehenna of fire. You're condemned to hellfire. Now, what was Jesus talking about when he was talking about a fool? Well, when we say fool in our language, it doesn't mean the same as back then. When they said fool, they were talking about a person that was a blockhead, a person that refused wisdom and knowledge, a person that refused to go right, even though they knew to go right. They refused to go right. A person that was trying to tear down you spiritually, make you less than what God made you to be. In other words, if you had some kind of intellectualism or you was intelligent in something, they would try to tear you down and put you under their foot because they were trying to spiritually and solely kill you. They were trying to murder you without shooting you or without stabbing you or without pushing you over a cliff. So they were using their words and they would call you that name, fool, to kill you spiritually, to cause you to be totally separated from God, because that's what the meaning was. So they weren't just saying, well, you made a mistake, well, you were foolish in that, or you were foolish in that, but they were trying to totally destroy you with that word. What they were basically telling you is you're not even really a human being. You're not even really a person. You're brainless. You're incapable of doing what's right. Jesus said, when you say that, And that's what you mean? He said, you're on your way to hell. That's what he said. Well, so what does that mean? That means you're blessed if you don't do that. You're blessed if you don't have that mindset, that heart, if you don't use your words in that way to destroy and condemn and to just totally destroy and annihilate folks. You're blessed when you don't do that. Now listen to this. Ooh, glory to God. I'm going to be out your way in just a little bit, but I got to bring this up because this is a reference to blessing. It says, and then bring your offering. In other words, the Lord really don't even want your offering if you got that in your heart. If you're going around with that destructive nature in your heart and you're talking about people like that in your heart, Jesus said if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to go back to that person and repent and make it right with that person. Then when you make it right with that person, then you bring your offering to the altar and you're blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, that'll set some people free. You're wondering why stuff is not going right in your life, and then you're bringing damnation on yourself with your mouth. You can't be blessed like that. You're opening the door to the enemy. Jesus just said what will happen when you do that. And then you try to please God with that in your heart, you won't be blessed like that. You will not be blessed like that. But you will be blessed when you heed to the word of the Lord. I'm going to move on. You have heard that it was spoken, you shall not commit adultery, but I'm saying unto you, one thing I want to bring up before I go any further. Everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is speaking about right here is your heart. And what he's saying is, if you really want to truly be blessed, you got to get your heart right. You have to get your mind right. And when you do those two things, then you are truly blessed regardless of the stuff that you have. Do you know you can really truly be blessed and be living in the wilderness? You can be blessed and be persecuted every day. You can be blessed and folks can talk about you every day. You can be blessed and be laying flat on your back in the hospital. Do you know that? Why? How? Because your heart is right with God. Your heart is right with Christ. And your light is still shining. People are still seeing Christ in and through you. That is one of the greatest blessings you can have. We're talking about being blessed, receiving the blessings of God. That's what we're talking about. We're setting it straight. Because a lot of people is confused. Completely. On what blessings really are. That's why they're filling up the churches. For blessing. Gimme. I gotta have. I want this. I ain't satisfied with this. I gotta have more. More money. Do I want more Jesus? Nah, I don't know about that. Just give me the money. Do I want to be strong in the spirit? Well, I don't know about that either, but I want a new car. Do I want the fruit of the spirit to manifest in me? Do I want the gifts of the spirit to manifest with me? Well, I don't know about that, but I would like a new house. Give me a mansion. And I want the pretty woman and the handsome man, too. That's what I want. But do I want more of God? Do I want more of Christ? Do I want to be able to set somebody free? Do I want to be able to pray for somebody and they get up out of their sick bed? Do I want that kind of blessing? I don't know about that. I might have to give up a little. Yeah, I might have to give up a little crap to get with the Lord like that. So I don't know about that. I'm just telling the truth. I want everything right now. But let me read this to you. It says, but I'm saying to you, everyone who looks at a woman so as to lust for her immediately commits adultery with her in his heart. But if your right eye subverts you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that your one member be lost, and not that your whole body should fall into Gehenna. And if your right hand subverts you, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members be lost, and not that your whole body fall into Gehenna or hellfire. Now, what did he just say? He says, you bless when you don't even have that in your heart. If you have that in your heart, you're not blessed. If you don't have that adulterous mindset in your heart where you can't even look at any woman without thinking dirt, and it's in your heart, you're not blessed. That goes both ways, though, because nowadays, women is the same way. But Jesus said you're not blessed when you're like that. He said you're blessed when you're not like that. He said it's better that one eye be taken out or one hand be cut off and that you go into heaven like that. He says that's blessed. That's what he said. He said it's better to get into heaven maimed than to go to hell whole soul and body. He said, that's blessed. Don't nobody talk about that, but he said, that's blessed. He says, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let her give her right on divorce. But I'm saying to you that everyone who divorces his wife apart from the report of fornication, he causes her to commit adultery. And whoever takes her who is divorced is committing adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the angels, do not lie in your oath. But you will fulfill to the Lord Jehovah your oath. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is the throne of God, neither by the earth, for it is the stool for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make it a certain, hair black or white. But your statement shall be yes, yes, and no, no. Anything more than this, then these is from the evil one. The Lord Jesus was saying, you're blessed when you don't make those kinds of oaths. You're blessed when you don't swear, when you keep your word, when it's yes, your yes is yes, and your no is no. In other words, your word is your bond. Jesus said, you're blessed when you're like that. When you say, now, listen, let me straighten this up now. I want to straighten this up right away because people get hung up on that sometimes. Because they will try to say, well, he lied. Well, you say, I intend on going so-and-so. And you get up and you get ready to go and your engine has fallen out your car and you can't get there. Well, if you can't get there, you can't get there. That's not your fault. But you then purposely say, well, I'm going to go there, and you know you wasn't going. That's a lie. So I wanted to clear that up because things happen. But if you are the type of person that is conscious of your words and you're conscious on keeping your words, most of the time you're going to keep it. And people will honor that in you because they will say, this person or that person, when he says something or she says something, this person normally keeps it unless something out of the way happens. And that's how it should be. Because Jesus said anything more than this is from the evil one. In other words, in reference to talking a bunch of foolishness all the time. A bunch of foolishness all the time. And so he's saying that when your yes is a yes and a no is a no, he considers that as being blessed. But when you do all that swearing and stuff, and making all those oaths that you really don't know if you can keep or not, he said that's not how you keep. Now, what we're talking about is the blessings of the Most High God and how to receive the blessings of God. And Jesus is telling you how to receive it. He's telling you how to receive it. Now, you have heard that it was said, an eye in exchange for an eye, and a tooth in exchange for a tooth. But I'm saying to you, you shall not rise up against an evil person. But whoever strikes you on your right cheek, turn him also the other. Whoever wants to shoe you and take your coat, leave for him also your coat. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile with them, go with him 2 miles. Whoever asks you to give, give to him. And whoever wants to borrow from you, do not refuse him. Now, these things, what we're talking about now, is the attributes of a mature Christian. It's an attribute of somebody that's walking close to the Lord. But Jesus said, when you don't render evil for evil, when you don't rise up against an evil person to do them harm, that when somebody slaps you upside the face, you turn the other cheek. Jesus said, that's a blessing. He calls that a blessing, because when you don't do those things, and when you go and fight, when you rise up and go the way of the world, he said, that's not blessing. He said, that's not my way. That's not how I desire you to do things. I want you to do things in the way that I would do things. And if you notice, when Jesus walked the earth, they did everything to him. They talked about him every day. They called him son of the devil. They was running around trying to kill him all the time. He couldn't go home. He had to stay out in the woods, because everywhere he tried to go, somebody was trying to kill him and trap him up and snare him up. But you never heard him say to any of his disciples or apostles, a.k.a. Peter, I want you to, that fella, he said something bad against me, so I want you to go down and get him. Jesus never said that. Matter of fact, when they came to arrest him in the garden, and Peter picked up the sword and cut that fella's ear off, the Lord told him, Peter, put that up, man. Put that sword up. Who lives by the sword, die by the sword. I don't want you to die by the sword, so you put the thing down. The Lord Jesus went over to the man that was trying to arrest him, picked his ear off, put it back on his head, and healed him right there. And they still took him away. And when they took him away, they was beating him, they was slapping him, they was spitting on him, they was kicking him, they was flipping him, they was doing everything to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he having all the power. All the power in the entire universe did not turn around and strike him down. That's how we should be. And all that he was going through, he accounted it as joy. He withstood all the shame of that for us. So we have to count that as blessing. Now, I'm ending right now, but it says here, and these are things that, I mean, you got to search your heart. You got to have a heart for the Lord to be able to be blessed like this. You heard it was said, show kindness to your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless the one who curses you. Jesus said, bless the one who curses you, and do what is beautiful to the one who hates you, and pray over those who take you by force and persecute you, so that you will become the children of your Father who is in heaven. For his sun rises on the good and upon the evil, and his rain descends on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what benefit is it to you? Behold, do not even the tax collectors the same thing? And if you pray for the peace of your brethren only, what excellent thing are you doing? Behold, are not even the tax collectors doing the same thing? Then he said, listen to this. After Jesus said that whole chapter 5, Matthew, talking about the Beatitudes, everything that we just went through, then Jesus said, be therefore perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. After all of that, after he said all this in reference to the blessings of God and reference to receiving the blessings of God, he said, be therefore perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. That heart has to be right, and you have to be willing to go through some stuff to truly receive the blessings of the living God. I'm not talking about a bunch of junk. I'm not talking about carnal things. I'm talking about things of the Spirit. I'm talking about true presence. If you want to be perfect in the sight of God and Christ, you got to bless. You got to bless. You got to bless. And you got to be blessed. The only way you're going to be blessed, the only way you're going to receive the blessings of God is to get your eyes off of the things of the world and get your eyes into the book of God, the word of God. Seek Jesus Christ. Repent. Accept the Lord as Savior. Tell God you're sorry. Accept him as Savior. Believe he is the Son of the living God. And believe that God has raised him from the dead. And you'll be saved. And you'll be blessed. Amen. And so that basically ends our lesson on today. But we want you to know that if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to grow in the things of God, then you need to exercise what we just talked about. You need to get into the book. Go through Matthew 5. Go through the Beatitudes. Go through that whole chapter and see where you are in that. See what kind of temper you have. See, are you quick to fly off, quick to want to attack somebody? Because that's not blessing. Do you bless people when they curse you? Or do you curse them back? Amen. So at that, we're going to end our program. We pray that everyone was blessed from that, so we're going to end in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for this program, Father. And we pray, Lord, that everyone who listens receive the revelation of your word, that they would grow in grace and in the maturity of Jesus Christ, and that the revelation of the word of God be made manifest to them, and that God's blessing will truly rest and abide with them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. And anyone who is desired to come out, we're meeting at 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton, Georgia, at the Canton Fire Station. We meet from 11 to whenever the Lord says stop. So we welcome you out. Be blessed. And we'll be broadcasting next Sunday at the same time. Goodbye.